It's the last Sunday in the in our Sermon on the Mount, and as we finish this week, we're finishing by talking about the two disciples and the two houses. Have you ever heard an athlete talk about his game and the way in which the athlete talks about his or her game? You begin to just about think, you know what? I'm kind of tired of hearing you talk about your game. I'd like to see you play. You know, sometimes you just feel like saying, okay, you know, that's it. Just go play. I'll watch. I'll see how good you are. And in a way, that's what Jesus is talking about in this passage of Scripture that we are looking at here. You know, quit talking. Let's see you live. Because what Jesus is talking about is that not everyone who talks about heaven belongs to the kingdom of God. Not everyone who talks about the game, the Christian life, is actually playing. Jesus is more concerned about our walk than he is about our talk. And the kingdom, we've been talking about this kingdom of God and this kingdom community. And as this kingdom of God community, us as brothers and sisters in Christ, we must guard not only against false prophets, but also false disciples. Because that's who Jesus is talking about here. Just speaking it is not necessarily meaning that we are actually walking it. Jesus wants us to do right, not just say the right words. We started the conclusion to the Sermon on the Mount last Sunday, and we considered that two options. We have two options, as he said there, the narrow gate, the wide gate, the false prophet, and the true prophet. And then we asked ourselves the question, or we said that means we're going to have to choose. And are we really giving thought to what we would choose? Well, today, we're asking the question, does your walk match your talk? Does your walk match your talk? Let's read and start reading at verse 21 of chapter 7. Jesus is speaking and he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" There's two disciples here. Two disciples who made some very different choices. See, as he talks about here, he says, not everyone who says to me, then we see here that it's not enough to acknowledge Jesus as our Savior. It's not enough to just simply acknowledge Jesus as our Savior. We also must walk in obedience to him. We have to walk in obedience to him. If what we say is true, it will reflect in our lives. In a way, what Jesus is saying here, those enter who do the will of my Father. Those who are going to heaven are the ones who are doing the will of the Father. No one can be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven and not obey the king. No one can be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven and not obey the king. We need to obey the king. We say, okay, if I do the will of the Father, does he expect that I will obey him sinlessly? No, it's not the expectation that we will live without sin. Rather, it's the expectation that we are characterized by obedience. Do we as parents expect our children to obey us with like just 100% of the time, never ever disobey us? Now, as parents, that would be a little bit of an unrealistic expectation. But there's a neat feeling, a neat sense that we as parents have when our children are characterized by obedience. That's what Jesus is talking about here. It's not sinless obedience, but it is that daily obedience. And that when we fail, then we repent, we come to the cross, we ask for forgiveness, we grow through the right way to make things right again. You see, all of us are going to blow it big time. And that's not the end of it. It's not the end of it in our relationships here, but neither is it the end of it with God. God doesn't say, you know what, you blew it one time too often, you're out. No, he desires that when we fail, that we will come and we will admit what we have done, and that we will confess, which says agreeing with God, yes, God, I did do what you did not want me to do, and now I ask you to forgive me, what? With the blood of Jesus Christ, which he provided for exactly that reason, that should we mess up, there is a way in which we can find that forgiveness. Living without sin is impossible. It didn't happen anywhere in the Old Testament, and it doesn't happen anywhere today. We don't live sinlessly. But when we recognize our weakness, then we can find that forgiveness and we walk with the Father. In verse 22, he says there that many will say to me, Lord, Lord. False disciples may and do exercise power in the name of Jesus. It's interesting that we find that even in Scripture. They are people who talk about, and from the outside it appears like they are walking with Jesus. But remember last week we talked about fruit? By their fruit you will know them? That's the first key. But that's not the only key. The other key that's there is that Jesus knows in the end. He is the final judge. There's three things, he says, that these false teachers, these false disciples are doing. And it's the thing which the church is supposed to do. They're prophesying, or that's teaching, casting out demons, and performing miracles. And this was the central ministry of the disciples of Jesus Christ. And that's what these folks are doing. And still, they are not proof of the Father's will. Since each of these, teaching, and even spiritual warfare, and miracles, can come from sources other than God. In Revelation, at the end as John was describing the end of time, in Revelation chapter 13, he says this about the beast who is the devil at work. He says, and he, the beast, performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view. And we could find a number of other incidences in Scripture where Balaam, the false prophet, there's so many times that these things can happen. But Jesus still says, I never knew you. They appeared to be Christians, but they never were. They appeared to be Christians, but they never were. You know what's powerful here? Last Sunday, we encourage you that at any time, you need to check with God's Word whenever you hear anybody teaching and preaching. When there's a leader claiming something, you need to challenge it with God's Word. The interesting thing here is that they may well be teaching God's word correctly. What happens then? God will honor his word. God will honor his word even when evil men are teaching his word. Because God's word is his word. His word cannot be changed, cannot be tampered with. If you tamper with it, you have false doctrine. I remember reading the story of a pastor who was not a believer and became a pastor, went to Bible school, all to show that you could be a pastor and you could teach God's word and have a ministry without ever being a believer and believing in God. And he did for a number of years until God's word got a hold of him and he got saved. He did. But what happened along the way? Along the way, when he, an unbeliever, was preaching God's word and counseling people according to God's word, people were getting saved. You see the power of God and the power of his word. He says, I never knew you. It wasn't that the relationship was broken. It was that they never had come to the cross in humble admission of their sin and accepted Christ as their Savior in the first place. They had never come under obedience to the Lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ. Away from me. Away from me. What terrible words to hear. For you see, for when you hear those words, it's too late to do anything about it. Away from me. What an awful separation. Away from me. Away from the very Jesus whom they would have proclaimed, from the one in whose name they had done miracles, from the one in whose name they had prophesied. Away from the very one in whom eternal life can be found. In Christ, all is heaven, but separated from him, all is hell. And Jesus starts this next passage when he talks about the houses with that word, therefore. Therefore, because of this, because not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is truly a disciple of mine. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house and it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. He started out in verse 21, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father. Here he says, not everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Hearing and doing. There are two different things, to hear and to put them into practice. I want you to turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 22 to 25. There's the evidence of one who is there is evidence of a person who is truly a believer, and that is whether one does what Jesus said. James, in speaking about this, uses the word deceive. Verse 22 of James chapter 1. He says, do not merely listen to the word. Okay, we're hearing it. And so deceive yourselves. In other words, if all we do is listen and don't do it, then we deceive ourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. James had to use the illustration of a man. He couldn't use woman there, because we as men look in the mirror and we don't really see and we walk away. The women might not. But do you get the picture here of looking in the mirror? And we see it. What is he intimating we're seeing? He's intimating that we're seeing something that we should change, whether it's ketchup on our face or whether it's, you know, whatever it is. But he's saying that we're looking in the mirror and really there's something there, but we don't pay attention. And we turn away and we go on. And we forget what we look like, and we make a fool out of ourselves all day, right? Because there's something on our face, and we're wearing it. And our good friends haven't told us yet that it's there. They just chuckle. But he says, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, I like that. I like the song that Jeremy and Kara sang. Of the freedom of truly living, of feeling born again. It gives freedom, and it continues to do this because not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. You know what? On the surface, these houses look the same. On the surface, these houses look the same. You drive by, and you can't see a difference. They look good. Only a storm will reveal on what it is built. Palestine was known for its violent storms. Palestine is a country of storms and of sand. And you know, it's hard to believe that unless you've actually witnessed it. And I know for us, the years that we spent in Oasis in Mexico there, the sand. You know, something happened if you would get a thunderstorm and you get 2 or 3 inches of rain in less than an hour. That sand would seal. And the farmers told us that very little of the moisture actually ever got into the ground because it just seals and the water runs. And there were times where you could actually see 3 feet, a 3-foot wall of water just coming. And it just washes things away. A flash flood. You've probably read the news, different places. You see that southern Texas especially, if you drive the smaller roads, you'll go into a dip and there's a measuring stick. And the first time I saw one, I wondered what it was. It has feet marked on it. And then when a storm comes, I realize what it is. They don't have culverts and bridges. It runs right across the road. And this stick tells you how deep the water is on the road. Flash floods. That's what he's talking about here. When a storm comes, it says that the storm, the rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. One stands and one falls. It is the storm that reveals what it is built on. It is the storms of life that often reveal our faith. You see, it's easy to say all kinds of things or to believe all kinds of things until they are tested. But the interesting thing to note is that the time to strengthen your faith, the time to prepare the foundation is not when the storm's coming. You don't have time to remove the house and put a foundation under it and move it back on. You don't have the time. So you say, well, how am I going to build a foundation without the storm? That's where God's Word comes in. God's Word is your foundation. And unless you know God's Word, and unless you spend time in God's Word, your foundation is not being built. This is the only way to build your foundation. And you may say, well, I'm not much of a reader. You don't need to be in order to be in God's Word. I didn't say that you should read this cover to cover every day. But you should have a systematic plan. If you are a reader that likes to read one verse a day, then work on it. Find something that's going to get you into God's Word, into the truth, because if you don't know the truth, you're building on sand. And you may know enough because you grew up in Sunday school, you grew up in church, and you may know enough that you can make it look good. But when the waters and the storms actually hit, it's amazing what happens. And that erosion, if you notice, whether it's the third battle going to Manning or some of those other bridges, where does it happen? It goes underneath the pavement. And you don't notice it at first until eventually it crumbles. And it's that way with our life. We can stand and withstand some storms, but eventually it just keeps eroding and all of a sudden it's gone. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Like a house of cards, the fool's life crumbles. It fell with a great crash. What ruin! What tragedy! And do you know that most people do not deliberately seek to build on a false or an inferior foundation? Instead, they just don't think about their life's purpose. Many people are headed for destruction not out of stubbornness, but out of thoughtlessness. And part of our responsibility as believers is to help others to stop, to think about where their lives are headed, to point out the consequences of ignoring the message of Christ. Folks, what you do cannot be separated from what you believe. What you do cannot be separated from what you believe. So we come back to that question, does your walk match your talk? In verse 21, that first paragraph there, Jesus clearly intimated that the way of life consisted in doing the will of our Father. In the second passage here, verse 24, that same lesson is brought out again. The difference between these two builders is used to illustrate this lesson. And that only the one who builds on the rock will be able to stand. Both represent people who hear. Both represent people who hear. But you have one who hears and responds. The other one hears. That's it. End of story. The rock is doing, practicing. The sand is not doing it. Just hearing it and ignoring it. The narrow gate or the wide gate. The narrow gate is, you have to be intentional if you want to find the narrow gate. The wide gate, everybody's going there. Go with the flow. The rock or the sand. The rock is natural. The sand is natural. You don't have to think. Just keep living your life the way you are. The rock is obeying God's word. How can you obey God's word if you don't know God's word? Don't wait for the crash. Build your foundation now. Let's pray. Father, as human beings, we like the easy road. We like the looks of a good house that is easily built. And sometimes we may, by our attitudes, come to you and really say, Lord, please don't ask us to sacrifice. Please don't make it hard for us. Please show us so easily and quickly everything that you want for us. But please don't make me dig in your word or try to pray. And yet it's those things, Lord, that really build the foundation. You never did tell us that discipleship would be easy. You told us it'd be rewarding, but you didn't tell us that it would be easy. You never told us that it would come natural and that we wouldn't have to be intentional or practice things. But you did tell us that by choosing you, we would have life to the full and eternal life after that. So, Lord, I don't know exactly what the storms are, but I know there's a lot of storms in the lives of our people here. And Holy Spirit, as you, humanly thinking, go back and forth by each pew and touch each heart, you know where it's at. Maybe there are hearts here that have never yielded. Maybe there are hearts here that know the truth. They've grown up in Sunday school, or they've grown up in La Crete and they've gone to church. And yet, if you were to come right now, then they would hear you say, I never knew you. Away from me. Lord, it's easy to come to the cross when we think of taking away guilt and shame and pain. And that seems so attractive. But for you to say, Lord Jesus, that we have to deny ourselves to take up our cross and to follow you, that cross that we came to for salvation. Wow, that's another story. Aren't your expectations a bit high for us? And again, you say to us that it is only the one who does the will, who puts into practice your words. Lord, as we face our storms, may we lay that rock-solid foundation of digging into your word, of spending time in prayer, of getting to know you and to know you intimately. Don't let us wait until the house crashes. I'm not sure where your heart is at, but I want to say that if you need to deal with some things and God has been speaking to you about your foundation, then our prayer room, which is to our left in the foyer there, is open. And we invite you to go there after the service, and you can either pray, or there's always somebody there and they can get people to pray with you. Please do that. Don't wait until the house falls or until the Lord says, away from me, I never knew you. Amen.